Thank you for that introduction. As you were saying those things, I couldn't help but remember the fact that I used to look up to your father in a similar fashion. My first recollection of him was him pulling up in front of my folks' house here in Independence on a little moped of some sort. And the main thing that I remember was that it was kind of a green color. That's about as much memory as I have of it. Probably, I might have been 3 years old. I don't know for sure. It was a long time ago. I wish to greet each one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those that are online, the same, that you would take these words into consideration and perhaps find a way to apply them in some fashion. And to be honest with you, I can't even tell you for sure all the things I'm going to perhaps say tonight, because my mind has been running 300 miles an hour, and I don't know what things is going to come out of my mouth for sure. We serve a Savior that, if you took time as you walked in and looked at the bulletin board back there, you'll find a sheet that shows you all the different names that he's called by. He's called the Counselor. He's called our Lord. He's called our Savior. But I found it interesting that he had a name that he called himself. And if you turn to John in the 8th chapter with me, we'll read that name. It's the 12th verse. And quite interestingly enough, this name that he called himself by, the Pharisees didn't really appreciate. And you perhaps would find that a little bit humorous, because it seemed that anything that he did was not pleasing to them. He didn't fit their mold, shall we say. But it's in that 12th verse that says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." There are many ways of looking at that light of life and wondering just what part of it should I discuss with you tonight. We could go to Matthew and read there the Sermon on the Mount, because there you would get all of the things that he expects out of you and I. And yeah, there's quite a few there. But there is a place that says that if you could hang it on two commandments only, everything that he wants out of you. First of all is to love God with all your might, mind, and strength. And the second one is to treat your neighbor as yourself. And he went a little step further and said, no one ever hated their own flesh. Apparently there are some people who do, and they take their own lives, but by and large, people do not do that. We kind of like ourselves. But rather than reading those things, and I would invite you to go there and read them, or you can, if you prefer, go to 3 Nephi and read it in the 5th chapter, and the 6th, and the 7th, and the 8th, and the 9th. Just don't quit. You will find his same words written there, the things that he would have you to be about in your life. And yet, I feel led to go another direction with those thoughts tonight, to give you some examples of individuals who, shall I say, didn't quite fit the mold that Christ set for them, and what happened with them eventually. And so if you turn to Alma with me, in the 6th chapter is where I'm going to begin. Now I'm on the sixth chapter, verse 18 to 22. I suppose I should start with the beginning of a paragraph, which is verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass that while he was journeying thither," this was Alma, "being weighed down with sorrows, waiting through much tribulation and anguish of soul because of the wickedness of the people which were in the city of Ammonihah. And it came to pass that while Alma was thus weighed down with sorrow," he's leaving the town of Ammonihah, what he has done, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, Blessed art thou, Alma, therefore lift up thy head and rejoice, for thou hast great cause to rejoice." And I can only imagine how he must have felt. You know, I've poured my heart out to these people, trying to show them what the Lord wants them to do with their lives, and they would not hear me. How can I rejoice? He says, "For thou hast been faithful in keeping the commandments of God from the time which thou received thy first message from him. Behold, I am he that delivered it unto you. And behold, I am sent to command thee that thou return to the city of Ammonihah and preach again unto this people of the city, yea, preach unto them. Yea, say unto them, except thou repent, the Lord God will destroy them. For behold, they study at this time that they may destroy the liberty of thy people. For thus saith the Lord, which is contrary to the statutes and judgments and commandments which he hath given unto his people." You see that sometimes wickedness begets wickedness. And because they had been made aware of what was wrong in their society, they decided that those that were trying to tell them how they could change and what would make them happier in the end, they were angry with that, and they desired to destroy them, and we'll see some of that later. And yet the Lord sent him back. Well, Alma was one who was obedient to when the Lord spoke to him. Apparently, he knew that this angel came from God, and so he was willing to do what he had asked him to do. And I can only imagine here again that he had trepidations for it, because he'd already done the best that he knew how, and it wasn't good enough. And it came to pass that he entered the city, beginning at verse 25, he was an hungered, and he saith to a man, "Will you give to an humble servant of God something to eat?" You know, I can appreciate how Alma did that, and yet, if I were hungry, I'm not sure I'd call myself a servant of God, and yet I'd try to serve him. But, pardon me, but it almost seems arrogant to say it that way. And the man said unto him, "I am a Nephite, and I know that thou art a holy prophet of God. For thou art the man which an angel saith in a vision, thou shalt receive. Therefore go with me into my house, and I will impart unto thee of my favor, and I know that thou wilt be a blessing unto me and my house." A little glimpse that something else must have happened. There was another angel that appeared, perhaps the same one, we don't know, doesn't tell us, and it's not really important. What is important is that this person that we haven't identified yet heard the voice of the Lord and responded to it. And it came to pass that the man received him into his house, and the man was called Amalek. And he brought forth bread and meat and set it before Alma. And it came to pass that Alma ate bread and was filled, and he blessed Amalek and his house, and he gave thanks unto God. And after he had eaten and was filled, He said unto Amalek, I am Alma. Finally, he's telling them who he is, which I find interesting as well. Usually if you walk up to someone's door, what's the first thing you do if you're a stranger? You identify who you are. He received food before he was identified. And am the high priest over the church of God throughout the land. And behold, I have been called to preach the word of God among this people according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy. And I was in this land, and they would not receive me, but they cast me out. And I was about to set my back towards this land forever. Fooey with you. I'm done with you. But behold, I have been commanded that I should turn again and prophesy to this people, yea, and to testify against them concerning their iniquities. And now, Amalek, because thou hast fed me and took me in, thou art blessed, for I was an hungered, for I had fasted many days. And it came to pass that Alma tarried many days with Amalek before he began to preach unto the people. And perhaps you'd say, well, now, why did he wait so many days to begin this task that has been laid upon him, one that he really didn't want, and yet he knew the voice of God, and he began to make preparation for that. And I feel like, in my own mind, that that's probably what was going on here at this point, that Alma was working with Amalek and teaching him line upon line and precept upon precept, that when they did go, or when he did go, Amalek would be prepared to be a witness to the things that he would say. Interestingly enough, in verse 36, and I'm just going to read that verse, and it says, and it came to pass that the people did wax more gross in their iniquities. So I don't know how much time passed, but it might have been rather significant. Time enough for there to be a change in the society that they were in. I'm going to turn over a few pages, not very many, turning to Alma, the 8th chapter. And I'll begin with the first verse there, because it's a rather long recitation, shall I call it? And yet, I couldn't find things that I could really cut out to make it shorter and get the message across. Now, these are the words that Amalek preached unto the people which were in the land of Ammonihah, saying, I am Amalek. And you thought Alma was the one that was going to go talk to him, didn't you? Amalek is the one who speaks out. And we find a little bit more about this man Amalek. I am the son of Gedona, who was the son of Ishmael, who was a descendant of Amminadi. And it was the same Amminadi which interpreted the writings which were upon the walls of the temple, which was written by the finger of God. I did a little checking, and I did not find where the scriptures talk about this man Amminadi, however I should say that. This is the only reference to him. But he was a Nephite, and he was a son of Lehi, who came out of the land of Jerusalem, who was a descendant of Manasseh, which was the son of Joseph, which was sold into Egypt by the hands of his brethren. And behold, I am also a man of no small reputation among all those who know me. He was well known. Now, how would you like to be? Well, we'll just say, for instance, that maybe you're the mayor of Independence, and a prophet has been sent to you, and you've seen an angel, and he's told you to take this man in, and that man teaches you, And now you're going to go before your city council and anyone who's in that meeting and begin to teach them the scriptures. No small reputation. Yea, and behold, I have many kindred and friends, and I have also acquired much riches by the hand of my industry. Nevertheless, after all this, I never have known much of the ways of the Lord and his mysteries and his marvelous power. He's going to counter that in just a moment. But how would you like to be that person that felt like they really hadn't seen the hand of God move in the past? I can't say that. I've seen his hand move too many times to ever be able to say that. And perhaps I'll share some of those yet this evening. And I said, I never had known much of these things, but behold, I mistake. For I have seen much of his mysteries and his marvelous power, yea, even in the preservation of the lives of this people. Nevertheless, I did harden my heart, for I was called many times, and I would not hear. Therefore I knew concerning these things, yea, I would not know. Now that's kind of like having the Bible and the Book of Mormon available to you, and you just make sure it stays up there on the shelf and you never look under the cover. And so you have no idea what's really in there. I would like to tell you that's not the kind of person I once was, but it's not true. Not unlike Amalek, there were times when I would rather just go my own way. And I will tell you that my own way was not comfortable. It was not pleasant. It had more rough spots in it than I care to remember. And yet through those rough moments, I learned many things that the Lord had in store for me. Therefore, I went on rebelling against God and the wickedness of my heart, even until the fourth day of this seventh month, which is in the 10th year of the reign of the judges. So we get somewhat of a time frame here that we're 10 years into the reign of the judges, which was something that, as I recall, it was Mosiah that encourage them to take on, to become ruled, self-ruled, shall I say, to have judges that kept the law and kept order within the people. Interestingly enough, personally, I see that type of governing as being good because it gives everyone a voice in what takes place. And yet, when you go back and you read all the things from the first day of the judges, you find out that it wasn't all roses. Within the first year, there was a man that come in their midst and began to teach them all kinds of false doctrines, and he had to be put down. When I say he had to be put down, I don't mean like you would put down an animal, but I mean his teachings had to be rebuked. And that man confessed. Now, did it change his status before God? That's not my call, and it's not my concern. But it was his death was required because he took another man's life trying to prove his point. And under their law, if you killed somebody without a cause, your life was required. Quite frankly, that's how it should be today here. But we have many times been very lenient in and to our own detriment, is my feeling. I'll continue with verse 10. It says, "And as I was journeying to see a very near kindred, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto me and said, Amulek, return to thine own house, for thou shalt feed a prophet of the Lord, yea, a holy man, which art a chosen man of God. For he hath fasted many days because of the sins of this people, and he is an hungered. Thou shalt receive him into thy house and feed him, and he will bless thee and thy house, and the blessing of the Lord shall rest upon thee and thy house." I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit here to warn you that sometimes when the Lord says he's going to bless you, it doesn't mean that he will have preserved your life. Because if I don't believe I'll be reading that part tonight, but you will find that his family was destroyed because they would not deny the Christ. So how are they blessed? They were blessed because they received eternal life with our Savior. That's our purpose here on earth. He went on to say, "And it came to pass that I obeyed the voice of the angel and returned towards my house. And as I was going thither, I found the man which the angel said unto me, Thou shalt receive into thy house. And behold, it was this same man which hath been speaking unto you concerning the things of God. And the angel said unto me, He is a holy man. Wherefore I know he is a holy man, because it was said by an angel of God." You see, Amulek is, in a sense, he is being a witness to the things that Alma had already said them in the previous chapter that I did not read. You can go back and get that part of the story yourselves if you wish. He goes on to say, "And again, I know that the things whereof he hath testified are true, for behold, I say unto you that as the Lord liveth, even so he hath sent his angel to make these things manifest unto me, and this he hath done while this Alma hath dwelt in my house." That angel apparently must have appeared to them more than once, huh? "For behold, he hath blessed mine house, and he hath blessed me and my women and my children and my father and my kinfolks." You know, it was no small blessing. That many people in just this short period of time have gone from being the mayor and his family to being someone who now believes in God and is not willing to deny it. "Yea, even all my kindred hath he blessed, and the blessing of the Lord hath rested upon us according to the word which he spake." Not only This blessing that they received was not only the one I just mentioned of eternal life, but I have a feeling that there was this great joy and a tremendous peace that dwelt within them that they wanted. And very few people have it. We're not many here, are we? And yet I know within you there is that peace and there is that joy. We are blessed. "Now when Amalek had spoken these words, the people began to be astonished, seeing there was more than one witness which testified of the things whereof they were accused, and also of the things which were to come, and according to the spirit of prophecy which was in them. Nevertheless, there were some among them which thought to question them, that they might by their cunning devices..." By their cunning devices, they might catch them in their words, that they might find witness against them, that they might deliver them to the judges, that they might be judged according to the law, and that they might be slain or cast into prison according to the crime which they could make appear or witness against them. You see, that's not unlike many times today. If you can make an accusation against someone and you can manage to make facts look like that's true, you can get your way. I don't recommend it. We have a Heavenly Father that keeps track of all those things. I'm going to try to skip some of this if I can. I'll skip down to 24. It says, "Now they knew not that Amalek could know other designs. But it came to pass that they began to question him. He perceived their thoughts, and he said unto them, O ye wicked and perverse generation, ye lawyers and hypocrites, for ye are laying the foundation of the devil. For ye are laying traps and snares to catch the Holy One of God. Ye are laying plans to pervert the ways of the righteous and to bring down the wrath of God upon your own heads, even to the utter destruction of this people. Yea, well did Mosiah say, who was our last king, when he was about to deliver up the kingdom, having no one to confer it upon, caused that the people should be governed by their own voices. Yea, well did he say that if the time should come that the voice of the people should choose iniquity, that is, if the time should come that this people should fall into transgression, they would be ripe for destruction. And now I say unto you that well doth the Lord judge of your iniquities. Well doth he cry unto this people by the voice of his angels, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yea, well doth he cry by the voice of his angels that I will come down among my people with equity and justice in my hands. You know, Amalek laid a lot of information on their heads, and it didn't set well. There was amongst them a man by the name of Zizram. And he's one of them that I want you to remember tonight, as well as Amalek. Not to diminish the tremendous work that Alma was trying to accomplish. But these were individuals that had, can I say, a wayward heart? That's kind of mild, probably, but they were determined not to do what God wanted them to do. And yet, God saw in them something of value. Not unlike what he saw with Paul when he called Paul on his way to Damascus. This man Zizram, I'm trying to find a good place to pick it up, because they go through a whole bunch of information as far as coinage and things of that nature that we don't need to read. And we will pick up at 67. It says, and this Zizram began to question Amalek, saying, will ye answer me a few questions which I shall ask you? Now Zizram was a man which was expert in the devices of the devil, that he might destroy that which was good. Therefore he said unto Amalek, will ye answer the questions which I shall put unto you? And Amalek said unto him, yea, I will, if it be according to the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me, for I shall say nothing which is contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. That's key. Make sure that the things that you say came from the Lord. And Zizram said unto him, behold, here are six onyx, onties of silver, and all these will I give thee if thou wilt deny the existence of a supreme being. If I'm not mistaken, and I didn't look this up, but if I remember right, those six aunties were a pretty handsome sum, maybe as much as a year's salary. You know, that's not easy to turn down, is it? Now Amalek said, O thou child of hell, why tempt ye me? Ooh, how would you like someone saying that to you? I would not appreciate it. Knowest thou that the righteous yieldeth to no such temptation? Believest thou that there is no God? I say unto you, nay, thou knowest that there is a God, but thou lovest that lucre more than him. You know, talking about slapping somebody in the face and then, you know, putting your foot behind theirs and knocking them to the ground. He wasn't doing that physically, but emotionally, that's what he did to Zeezrom. He doesn't stop there. He says, now thou hast lied before God unto me. Thou sayest unto me, behold, these six aunties, which are of great worth, I will give unto thee when thou hast it in thine heart to refrain them from me. And it was only thy desire that I should deny the true and living God, that thou mightest have cause to destroy me. And now behold, for this great evil that thou shalt have thy reward. And Zeezrom said unto him, thou sayest there is a true and living God? And Amalek said, yea, there is a true and living God. Now Zeezrom saith, is there more than one God? You know, he's still trying to trip him up. And he answereth, no. Now Zeezrom said unto him again, how knowest these things? And he said, an angel hath made them known unto me. And Zeezrom said again, who is he that will come? Is it the Son of God? And he saith unto him, yea. And Zeezrom said again, shall he save this people and end their sins? You got to pay attention to what words are there. And Amalek answered and said unto him, I say unto you, he shall not, for it is impossible for him to deny his word. Now Zeezrom saith unto the people, see that you remember this, you know, this is important. He says that you're not going to be saved in your sins. For he saith that there is but one God. Yea, he saith that the Son of God shall come, but he shall not save his people, as though he had authority to command God. You know, he twisted his words right there. In that one sentence, he twisted his words. Now Amalek said unto him again, behold, thou hast lied, for thou sayest that I spake as though I had authority to command God, because I said, he shall not save his people in their sins. I say unto you again that he cannot save them in their sins, for I cannot deny his word. For he has said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can ye be saved except ye inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, ye cannot be saved in your sins. Now Zeezrom saith to him, is the Son of God the very eternal Father? And Amalek said unto him, yea, he is the very eternal Father of heaven and earth, and all things which in them is. And he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and he shall come into the world to redeem his people, and he shall take upon him the transgressions of those who believe on his name, and these are they that shall have eternal life, and salvation cometh to none else. Needless to say that the conversation went on for some time more. And the further it went, the more Zeezrom began to realize that he was being cornered. He is one of their prime lawyers, remember? Excellent in lying, excellent in twisting the truth, excellent in all these kind of endeavors. And yet Amalek is able to corner him. Pardon my phone, I should have silenced it. It was a little delinquent. It was telling me I was supposed to preach tonight. If I were to read further there, you'll find out that pretty soon Zizim, he wants to duck and run, because he has been found to be a liar, and the people around him know it. You know, that's a pretty uncomfortable place for a lawyer to be when he knows that he's picked the wrong battle. So much so was he troubled that when you move over into the ninth chapter, I'm going to begin at the 11th verse there and read a few. It says, and he was also convinced that Alma and Amalek had a knowledge of him, for he was convinced that they knew his thoughts and intents of his heart. I would submit to you that it wasn't so much that Alma and Amalek knew his thoughts, but that God told them what he was thinking. That was something that Zizrom hadn't quite learned. For the power was given unto them that they might know of these things according to the spirit of prophecy. And Zizrom began to inquire of them diligently that he might know more concerning the kingdom of God. And he saith unto Alma, what does this mean which Amalek has spoken concerning the resurrection? And it's a long dissertation, and I'm not going to go there tonight necessarily, because I mean, it's important, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that at all. Because the way to that promise that you and I want is written there. And it requires of us to turn over our lives to him and be willing to do the things that he would have us do rather than our own desires. You know, there's lots of things that I would like to do. You know, I wouldn't mind to travel. Although I'll tell you quickly, I get tired of it. But there's so many places to see, so many things we could do. It would be fun to live on a ranch and have all kinds of horses to play with and to ride, and guess what? I probably couldn't do it anymore because I'm too old. But, you know, if I were to allow my mind to take me to what I would like to do, I wouldn't be here tonight. And yet I want you to understand that I'm grateful to be in your midst. Not necessarily to be standing here, but grateful to be in your midst. And there is a big difference there in my mind. This Zizrom, having had these things happen to him, as I said earlier, he kind of slunked away. And he went to his own house, apparently. And as time went on, these things that Alma and Amalek had said to him began to weigh down on his mind. Can I say weigh down on his heart as well? To the point that he had a fever. Have you ever thought about wickedness causing you to be sick? It can happen. Well, if I were to turn over to chapter 10, verse 41, it'll read some there. His soul began to be harrowed up under a consciousness of his own guilt. Yea, and he began to be encircled about by the pains of hell. Now, I have a feeling that not only were the words of these men working on him, but I have a feeling that God had a plan here also. And he began to really bear down on this man. And it came to pass that he began to cry unto the people, saying, Behold, I am guilty. These men are spotless before God. And it came to pass that he began to plead for them from that time forth, but they reviled him, saying, Art thou also possessed with the devil? And it came to pass that they spit upon him and cast him out from among them, and also all those who believed in the words which had been spoken by Ammon and Amalek. And they cast them out and sent them to cast stones to them. And they brought their wives and children together, and that's when that horrible thing took place where they burnt their records and they burnt them alive. And you say, how can human beings be so wicked and so cruel to one another? But guess what? It goes on today. All over the world, it goes on. The same kind of cruelty to those who would profess Christ. I wish there were time, but I'm not going to take it necessarily. I would invite you to search a little bit further. Because you're going to find out that this Zizram became a voice for the Lord. And he began to go with Alma and Amulek to other places to teach the people and to bring souls to Christ. And yet he had been one of those chief to destroy the children of God. It almost sounds like a repeat of the things that happened to Paul, doesn't it? It sounds like a repeat of the things that happened to Alma the Second when he was struck down on the way and was taken to his father, and he was looked lifeless. And it says he was harrowed up in the pains of hell. I'm not sure what that means, and I don't think I ever want to find out. But he caught hold of a thought. Can you imagine that? He caught hold of just a little bitty thought. Oh, Dad said such and such. He said, if I would just pray, he would forgive me. And when he did that, even though he looked to everybody else in this world like a dead man, God forgave him. And he stood and professed so. I'll not use names, but I'm going to give you a life story of someone else that was became a dear friend to me. Shall we say it that way? He was not unlike Amalek. He knew what God wanted of him, and yet he didn't want that responsibility. He didn't want to have to stand in front of people and tell them the word and remind them of the commandments. He didn't want to do that. And one day I'm with him and we're walking along a creek bank, and he says, you know, I will use one name here. I could have been doing the same things that you and Randy are doing. and I chose not to. And I'm forever sorry. It's too late. Well, you might think it's too late. You know, you're already retired. You're old and you're beginning to get decrepit. You don't walk straight anymore. And no, it's not too late. Well, what do you mean? He said, when I read my scriptures, it tells me when we realize the error of our way, we can repent. And we can strive to undo the things that we have done. And he began to consider that, apparently. And he, one day I was talking to him again. He says, you know, there's so many things that I struggle with because I don't know whether it was what I was taught or if it's in the Word someplace. I don't know the Word that well. I said, well, you could, you're a good reader. Begin reading. You'll find those answers. It meant work, didn't it? He had to do something. We're in Sunday school class one day, and he begins to talk about, I forget what the topic was now, and he stopped and he says, it could be, I'll not deny it, that I cannot control the way my face looks sometimes. You know, when I know that something isn't right, you know, you kind of go like that. And he saw it, and he says, am I wrong, Jim? I didn't tell him he was wrong. But the Lord directed me to the scriptures that showed me what they said. He goes, ah, it's another one of those things that I was taught and I didn't check it out, wasn't it? No, I won't read it to you because you can find it. I believe it's in the 16th chapter of Alma. There came a day when health issues took over. And he knew that his days on this earth were pretty limited. And again, we're sending in a Sunday school class. And to this day, I feel like the person that spoke initially was kind of rude. Definitely didn't phrase things in a very kind way. And because of that, it's still stuck in my head that way, and he spoke this way. He says, well, we all know that Jim's going to die. Where's he going? Oops, I screwed. I didn't mean to use the names, but he did. I looked over at my brother. I said, do you want me to tell them, or would you rather? And from memory, he virtually read those things which are written in that chapter, which tells you that the same spirit that possesses your body in this life is the same spirit that will possess you in that eternal world. And he did not stutter. Just not only that, When my spirit leaves this piece of clay that's on this earth, immediately it goes to that God that gave it life. And there I will know where I will spend eternity. That's what the word says. How do you say it any other way? That's why we're here on this earth. To work out our soul's salvation. Yes, we can delay it just like Zizram did, and just like Amalek did, and just like Alma did, and Paul, and probably a host of others. Or we can look at the things that are written and share them with anyone that will listen, anyone that will hear. You don't need to be a minister to share the truth. There's a world of people out there that are willing to share that truth the best that they understand it. And yet, you have so much more that you can share with them. To share it in joy, to share it in, because you care. To share it because your soul depends on it. God bless.